today on Real Radio.
And the great thing about being a Christian is we have a faith-based system that is unlike any other in the universe. Amen. We're the only ones who have a God who came down to rescue us. We are the only ones who, the Bible says, our God lives inside of us. You know all other religions? Their gods dwell in temples or places.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from the last 8 verses of chapter 6 and the first verse of chapter 7. As we have learned, this is a powerful section of Scripture that emphasizes the importance of the believer to separate himself from false doctrine and practice. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called Come Over Here.
We have been separated from the world. And at the same moment God separates you from the world, you're hidden in Christ. Listen, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a double blessing, man. Your life, now that you're a Christian, watch this. Before you were a Christian, God saw everything. You become a Christian, and God only sees Jesus when he looks at you. Now, hear me out. That life that is now separated from the world is hidden in Christ, meaning that wherever Jesus goes, you're in him. And the Bible says, and Christ is in God. So when God looks at you, he's looking at the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now you might say, that's cool. I can sin up a storm because my life is hidden in Christ. Nope. A person who is hidden in Christ cannot think like that anymore. They don't think like that. We don't think like that anymore. It's impossible. The proof of us being hidden in Christ is that we hate the sin that comes and knocks on our door. We now fight the temptations that come against us, where before we would look for temptations to cave into. But now we're hidden in Christ. It's an awesome declaration. We are separate, yes, and hidden. And I want you to let this sink in. There is a time when I think well-intended pulpit ministries, but ignorantly taught that, well, now that you're a Christian, you need to separate yourself from the world, and you need to dress a certain way and get inside your house and just stay there until the Lord returns. I'm exaggerating right now, but it's kind of that mentality. Well, we can't do this. We can't go to a duck game. Can't go to an angel game. You can't do this. That's stuff of the world. And they took this passage about being separate, and they misapplied it, thinking that isolationism was what God was talking about. Now, hear me carefully. When God puts his gospel in us, and we are hidden in Christ, we are sealed with the power and with the righteousness of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. I like to use the word galvanized. I use that word a lot. You are now galvanized in the righteousness of Christ. I ask you for what? To hide in your house, to wait until the Lord returns, never going to your neighbors, never going outside, never going to the mall or wherever. Oh, no, 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 no. Because now the Word of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you have been sanctified or set apart, you've been galvanized to go out into a sin-infected world. You are Teflon-coated spiritually. And this thing about wimpy, mamby-pamby Christianity, I cannot find in the Bible. You get out there and you go live for the glory of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know, that kind of scares me. The reason why it scares you is because you've been conditioned to fall or trip up when the world comes up against you. And you don't need to do that anymore. You take the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are now the temple of the living God, and you get out there. Don't be isolated. No, because you are separated from the world is not in you, but you are in the world. And you go out there and you have a rescue plan, and that rescue plan is to tell people about the love of God. I'm going to make a confession here right now. I'll feel better after I say it. You might say, well, I can't tell people. I don't have a big mouth like you do. Listen, you don't have to tell anybody exactly like that. But you have been so separated from the world, but you're still living in the world that, listen, a little while back, I was at the grocery store. It had to be a Monday, because I'm usually not that brain dead except on Mondays. And I remember standing, and there was somebody checking out in front of me, and they had their coupons. They weren't well dressed at all. You could tell that they were having a rough time, and they were something like 88 cents short from paying their bill. And so they wound up having to take some food item out so that they could get through the line. Now, if I would have been walking in the Spirit and not being zoned out, I would have said, for example, I'll cover that 88 cents. I'll take that. That's okay. See, you don't have to be a preacher or an evangelist or a Paul the Apostle to go out there and infuse the gospel into this world that's fallen and hurting. I could have said, I'll cover that 88 cents. You say, what does that have to do with the gospel? Well, there's a high probability that by the Lord touching my heart, which I'm sure he was trying to touch my heart, I just wasn't paying attention. I didn't do that. I wasn't even thinking. And then I got in the car and the Lord said, hey, Jack, what's wrong with you? God, what are you doing? It's my day off. And then it dawned on me. That was an opportunity to share the gospel. I didn't do it. For 88 cents, I could have gotten the gospel out to somebody that I'll probably never meet again. You see, well, I'm still not tracking you. This is how it works. Hey, I'll cover that 88 cents. There's a high probability that person's going to turn and go, thank you. That's when you say, oh, you know what? Hey, it's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Do you understand that opens up a door? Or you could say, hey, you know what? It's all cool. God is good, and he's been good to me. God loves you. You don't have to go, you know, spiritual law number one. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. But I would encourage you to stalk them out to the parking lot and say, hey, you know what? Is there anything you need me to pray for? Listen, they will say, yeah, you can pray. We can all do that. We can all do that. God's got a plan. Listen, secondly, it leads us to this. Verse 17 teaches us, come over here and see your real life. Do not touch what is unclean. The word actually means in the Greek, it's strong, it's stop it. Stop touching the unclean thing. The thing that is unsanctioned by God, don't touch it. Stay away from it, and I will receive you. Now, how do you hear that? Because this is a command. Stop touching unclean things. God is saying, in a warning, stop. Why? How do you view that? Oh, you know, that's that Christian God of yours. Listen, he's so mean. He says that you should not covet your neighbor's wife. Yeah, you know, that's kind of a quench. Really? God's trying to keep you from perishing, man. God says, don't tell lies. It could get you killed. God says, don't have another God before me. It can get you lost. He tells us these things for the betterment of our lives. And then he turns to the Christian and he says, listen, don't touch the unclean thing. Now, you need to think right now. Make that personal application. God, what's unclean in my life? Oh, he'll tell you. He's already telling you right now. I can hear now. He's telling you that thing, or that person, or that issue. Why? Because he wants you to have real life, a life that is free. People of the world will say, no, your God's full of rules. No, my God's full of life. And they think that they don't have rules, but their rule is to live for all the fun and pleasure that they can grab, and they think it's liberty. Listen, it's not liberty, it's bondage. You can go feed and indulge in all of the passions of your flesh. You're going to get sexually transmitted diseases. You're going to get headaches. You're going to get sick. You're going to look a whole lot older than what you really are. The world will thrash your life, and then when the world is done with you, it will vomit you off on the side of the road after it's prostituted you to the point of nothing, and you say you're free? No, I would suggest this to you. A real, true person enjoying liberty and freedom has the power to say yes or no to anything. See, when I was in the world, I had no power to say no. The world said, do this, and I said, how many times? I had no power. And God comes into your life and he changes your heart completely. And Paul is referring to this when he announces to the Corinthians, don't touch what is unclean. I will receive you. A changed life. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to give you two passages. I want you to put these two together. It's 1 John 2:15 and Genesis 3:6. Watch this. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's no room. For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh. Remember that, because Eve fell for this. Number two, the lust of the eyes. She fell for that too. And the pride of life, that's what got her to take a bite, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman, Eve, number one, just like 1 John, saw that the tree was good for food. No, really, she's like, looks good. I bet that tastes fantastic. And that it was, number two, pleasant to the eyes. Ooh, lust of the eyes. I've got to have that. Pleasant to the eyes was, it was, her eyes were now filled with lust for that thing. Ooh, I've got to have that. What else? And a tree desirable to make one wise. I can be like God. Look, anybody knocking on your door says you can become a God or be like God, that comes right out of Genesis 3. Eve said, I can be wise like God. I'll take it. I'll take two. She eats of it. And then the Bible there says that she gave to her husband and he did eat. Yikes. The world attempts to do that. And I want to say to you today, it's not real life that the world is offering you. That person reaching out to you, that person texting you or emailing you, or that who knows what connection somehow. Watch out. I'm talking to the Christian today. Watch out. Make sure you've got a fence. You've got a separation. You're in the world. God told you to go out into it, but you've been galvanized not to be a victim of the world. God has called you to go out and rescue those that are still bound by the world. And what a great example. I guess, listen, I'll probably fail at painting this picture, but I'm going to try really hard. Is not Jesus Christ our example? Yes. The Bible says, again in 1 John, that as he is, so are we now in this world. What does that mean? That we are to be like Jesus in this world. So I want to bring you together these two portions of scripture, and let's try to make this fit. Hebrews 7:26 says, regarding Christ, Jesus, for such a high priest was fitting for us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Stop right there. That's Hebrews 7:26. That's our Jesus. He's awesome. He's holy. He's separate from sinners. He's in heaven above. But look, if you leave him there, then you have nothing but a religious, legalistic experience. You hear that? What I just said was true, but if I don't keep going, it's only going to be a half truth. Jesus is holy. He's separate from sinners. He's pure. He's undefiled. He's enthroned in heaven. If you leave him there, you have a religious view of God. Isn't it awesome? We're Christians. And the great thing about being a Christian is we have a faith-based system that is unlike any other in the universe. Amen. We're the only ones who have a God who came down to rescue us. Yep. We are the only ones who, the Bible says, our God lives inside of us. You know all other religions? Their gods dwell in temples or places. Not Christianity. Hallelujah. That's why technically, honestly, you cannot put Christianity in the camp of religions. Christianity stands alone in one camp of a relationship with the true and living God. He says, I come to you. Isn't that good news? Religion says, I'm trying to reach you. All by good works or by efforts or by, no, not God. God says, you'll get to heaven based upon my good work. That is awesome. And that whole thing should spawn a love relationship. Maybe today you're in that kind of a bondage. You don't have real life. You've got this thing where, oh yeah, okay, watch, listen everybody. If I just, you know what, oh, I haven't been praying enough. Okay, well, who has prayed enough? How do you know when you have prayed enough? Has something ever happened like, ding, oh gosh, what happened? I just prayed enough. That will never happen. but don't you think if I just pray a little longer, then what? Then what? God will be approving of you? Legalism. You know, if I just lead one person to Christ a week, hey, that's sweet, but why are you doing it? Well, I mean, God will, you know, it'd be kind of cool in the end, right? Right? Legalism. That's not how it works. Real life is experienced in Him 24/7, a consciousness of God, living with God, the Bible God, the Creator God, the saving God. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said it, it's awesome, in His high priestly prayer of John 17:15, Jesus says there, He's praying to His Father just before He returns back to heaven. Listen to this. Jesus says, I do not pray that you, that's the Father, should take them out of the world. I've often disagreed with that prayer of His. It'd be great if you accepted Christ and the moment you walk into heaven. That'd be awesome. But Jesus says, Father, don't take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. You see, listen, Jesus Christ, aren't you glad Jesus Christ is separate from sinners, but the Bible tells us He's also the friend of sinners. And that's what God's asking us to do today as Christians. Think about it in a minute. I mean, not in a minute, I'm lying. In what, 20 minutes you're going to leave this building? This building, I'd like to get an aerial shot of this. Google Earth live. This building, thousands of people in it right now, and the service is over, and the doors open up. You know what the Romans call those doors? The vomitoriums. Did you know that? It's an architectural term. I'm not making it up. A vomitorium is doors that lead you out of the stadium. In a minute, you're going to be going out through the vomitorium, and you're going to be deposited out into the world. Galvanized, holy, righteous, separate. Listen, separate from sinners because you're hidden in Christ. But because that's true, God goes like this. Watch, He goes like this. He squeezes out through the doors. And from Google Earth, this building's going. Three services in the morning, thousands of people. Why, what happens? To the world. Think about it. Demons driving down the street, going down the freeway, satanic powers walking around the parking lot. The doors open up, and these Christians suited up in light of armor, boom, coming out. Christians, where are you going? Going to brunch, where are you going? Going to the game, where are you going? I'm going to the beach. Christians in the spirit realm, and hell shakes. Get in that car. You know, imagine them driving by. Ah! What's happening? The Christians are letting out. Demons should tremble when you're let loose. The building opens up. No! You've been galvanized to go into a broken world. You're not going to melt. You're not going to break. I can't talk to them. I'm a Christian. Go talk to them. Now, look, don't go talk to them about, hey, what are you drinking? Don't do that. Say, hey. Man, did you know that no drunk's going to inherit heaven? No, don't say that. But love them. You can tell them, hey, I'm a Christian. You guys get blitzed. I'll drive you home. Just know when I drive you home, I'm going to be praying for you all the way home. You won't know it because you'll be passed out. But God will hear me. I'll be praying for you. That's real life. God set us free. Look at verse 18. Come over here and see real family. Real. Look, we're Christians. Isn't it awesome? If blood is thicker than water, then the Spirit's thicker than blood. All of us can attest to the fact that our family spiritually is way stronger than our physical family. Isn't it amazing? I love that. I love this verse. Verse 18, look at three things. God says, look, I will be a father to you. Do you know how radical this is? The Bible says, I'll be a father to you. What kind of a father did you have? You say, I had a great father. That's awesome. Your heavenly father's greater. Well, my father was the worst. Hey, don't judge your heavenly father by your earthly father. Our father's greater. Number one, I will be to you a father. Number two, you shall be sons and daughters of mine. This is the creator God of the universe. He's the one. And what does He say? I want you to be my sons and daughters. Is that amazing? Look, are you not feeling loved today? Are you not feeling accepted today? I'm not a Christian. Well, man, that's a bummer. Why not? I'm 55 and three quarters old. I still have not yet heard a good reason why you're not a Christian. Not yet. Not from anybody. Don't you want some love? Don't you want some acceptance? Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Jesus Christ died to wash you clean. Amen. And to give you a whole new life. And he's invited you into his family. He invented family. He's the one. And he says, I'll be a father to you. And you can be my sons and daughters. That whole concept that you and I have, good, bad, or ugly, was born with God. God loves the family. And his family spiritually, look at number three under this. Who's saying this? That's what I love about this verse 18. Who is saying these promises? Who's saying this? Oh, none other than Yah. Y-A-H is the name of God. Yahweh. We use Yahweh. Yahweh Almighty. What does that mean? Yah, his name means save, salvation. That's what his name means. Like my name means Jack, lift up heavy objects. What's your name? Your name has a meaning. His name, Yah, his name means salvation. Isn't that cool? I am the salvation God, the Almighty. What does that mean? That means I am Almighty to save. That's my name. His name's not God. God is what he is. He's Yah, your God. That's awesome. Hallelujah. That's his name. Praise. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Look how smart you are. It's amazing. Now look, in any family, I don't need to belabor this, but we need to hear this because we want to walk healthy, we want to walk empowered before God. Every family, you know, how many of you kids? Raise your hands. You got kids. Okay? Remember when your kids were growing up? Maybe they still are. I know they're little angels, but you know they can cross the line sometimes and you say, go to your room. Are they still your kids? I know. Somebody said, nope. they're still your kids. Our God does not believe in abortion. He doesn't commit any abortions in the family of God. He says, listen, he says, like you've said, or like you said, go to your room. And Junior or Miss America, they walk down the hallway, they go to the room and shut the door. And here's what you should do. You shouldn't have done that. Go to your room. I'll be there in 10 minutes, and you're going to be disciplined for what you just did. I want you to think about it. Before you're disciplined, I'm going to ask you to tell me what it is you did. Now go to your room. Now, I don't know how, look, we only had two kids. I don't know how many kids you have, but look, here's the dynamic, because God is amazing. One of our kids would be like this, I don't care, and sit down. And you had to deal with that differently. And God gives the parent the ability and the wisdom to read that. One of the other kids, and by the way, those of you who have one kid, have a second kid. Watch what happens. It's amazing. They can come from the same place and be totally different. How does that happen? Same chemistry, same oven, everything different. I don't get it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. It's a lesson called Come Over Here. It's a study taken from the last 8 verses of chapter 6 and the first verse of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Come Over Here is actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you subscribed to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube? Thousands of folks have already done it. You'll see all kinds of studies and lessons and presentations. In fact, you're notified each time a new video is posted if you set the account up that way. Now, if you've ever subscribed to a YouTube channel, you know how easy it really is. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and scroll down to the bottom and click YouTube, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.